B-Pod Studios.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
Rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If I have a Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. We got Joe Murray here in studio, and our listeners have been phenomenal. So last week we were playing this thing that Trevor Bauer, we've talked about him before. He's obviously the pitcher, and he wanted to start a rap career, and it was really bad, but it wasn't anywhere near as bad as when he tried to write a rap love song.
Oh, you know? You're an angel, whoa, and I love you so. Across time and space, I will never feel alone.
Across time and space. And it led to the point where he gave that to a girl or a woman. And, like, how do you react when you get something that awful that somebody wrote for you? And I said, you know what? In moments of weakness, anyone who's ever picked up a guitar has probably thought, you know, maybe I should write this my lady a song and see what she thinks. And that led to a flood of emails of guys who had not only done it and it had backfired, but the women on the other side of it who had received it and it scared them away. And I love the fact that people are allowing us to relive some of their darkest moments. And, you know, yesterday we had a couple. There was, of course, the guy who sang the song that used the woman's name in it, which was, you know.
When my knees got to bump, I hit the ground, running towards you.
I have to stop it.
I was singing that yesterday. That's catchy. And by the way, she called in.
She
and
did.
Said it worked.
That was one of the rare ones that worked.
Yeah.
And then there was, of course, the guy who wanted to show off to the world that, or to this girl, rather, that he was a great musician. So it wasn't even a song that he had written for her. He just said, dude, I'm, like, amazing, and you should be seduced by my musical skills, and sent him a cover that he had done on his own.
Step inside. Walk this way. You and me, babe. Hey, hey! Love is like a bomb, baby, come on, get it on. Living like a love with a red eye on.
You just know that it goes in.
Yeah.
It has an ending that sounds like the guy passes out into his drum kit.
Now, to give him credit, he called in too later to defend
and
himself.
Realized it was bad. But now let's get to one that we received here. And I have not listened to this one. I specifically, the story was so cringe inducing that was sent along with this that I sent it to Mike and I said, I don't want to hear this because I don't know if it will spoil it. I want to hear it with virgin ears when we go on the air. So this is from a listener named Jay. Jay said, I met a girl who was bartending at a Chili's. Somehow I was able to get her number. She had a kid, so instead of going on a date, she invited me to her house where she'd cook me dinner. Before the date, I put together a song for her. I brought it with me to dinner. After dinner, and after she put the kid to bed, I played it for her. It wasn't long before we were standing outside smoking a cigarette, and she excused herself for a moment, then came back outside and said her daughter needed her, and she needed to attend to her, thus ending the date abruptly.
That sucks. Yeah.
So,
oh, man.
I have not locked the door behind her.
Yeah.
Said, see, to me, it's the moment that... It's one thing to give it to somebody, because the guy yesterday said he made like a CD and put a rose on it and left her on her front porch. Like that's one thing. But to sit next to the person that you wrote it for and have to look that person in the eye. All right. Mike, let's hear the song.
Busy night.
your story is, my time is tight. My instincts say, don't take fright. There is no heart that you can't swipe. Your skin so smooth and ripe.
Okay, stop. First of all, what was the gastrointestinal sound that he looped at the very beginning of that? Which,
like an animal. It was like some sort of a, like a, no? It's like a pig. But for...
Sounds like the Ultimate Warrior in a promo. Like, that's what he would do. You know, he'd like, what was that?
You say he waited until after the meal to play this?
This is the first date, by the way.
Smart move.
They're sitting together on the couch, I'm sure, and he plays this, and then he starts singing about her skin. Let's let it roll.
Anything but country. You hate how they gripe, and you say nobody's a type. I'll play sweet music for you. You're cleanly.
Yeah. Thinking the same thing.
No, that's right.
Literally thinking
that's
the same
exactly
thing.
Exactly right.
She's dating Yorkie the Clown.
And this is, he didn't work with this woman. He just visited, he was at the restaurant where she was a bartender, right?
No, he went to he went to Chili's. He would sound like he was a customer and hit on her.
Okay.
And yeah, I met a girl who was bartending at Chili's. Somehow I was able to get her number.
Right.
She had a kid.
Right.
Instead of going on a date, she invited her house where she cooked me dinner. Before the date, I put together a song for her. I brought it to dinner. After dinner, she put the kid to bed and I played it for her. And that's, of course, when she said, hey, listen, I need to be with my kid and you need to leave. Oh, my God.
Crap.
All right, Jay, I need to if you're the girl who received this, I need to hear from you. If you're the one who worked at Chili's. Because how do you, what do you say after this? Jay, I need to know what she said.
Like, and not Jay knows where she lives. I mean, this is just all sorts of bad for the woman. All sorts of bad.
And you've got your kids in the other room, which makes you feel like, you know, protective at this point.
Oh, my God.
Like, how have I let this man in? Do we need to listen to the rest, Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
Cleanliness is your godliness. I'll never forget your kindness. I followed your smile, your sexiness. Wanting to give you a kiss. An independent girl who knows what she wants. Fun, love, and dishing out wise-ass taunts. Your wit and clever style, you do flaunt. If I don't act now, my dreams you'll haunt.
Somebody said 100% that intro is Bill Belichick.
Crap.
Oh my God. So we said, you know, she brought the song to Chili's and played it for her coworkers.
No, I don't think so. I think that's one of those you like get the gloves and set that on fire and just toss it.
You
don't play that for anybody.
Because then it gets like personally starts talking about it. Someone said that song is way worse than the Pour Some Sugar on Me. And to that, the guy says, yeah.
I mean, look, you're the one who has to explain to coworkers that you let that guy inside your home where your kid is.
Yeah. Pour Some Sugar on Me, guy.
Do not play that for anybody ever.
Right. Yes, he was one producer away from being a star. The Pour Some Sugar on Me.
The only people you play that song for, Rich, are the police later.
Well, there was one girl who emailed me who said, all right, she goes, to set the stage, I went on a date with a bodybuilder, a bad phase. We were in the car and a song came on and he started singing. I told him he sounded like someone stepped on a cat. He obviously was not pleased. The next morning, I awoke to a video with a text saying, quote, I can't believe I'm doing this, but I can actually sing and I want to prove it. That beauty is attached. And she sent me a video. I have played this song for every single person I know. My hairdresser played it on the salon speakers. I was brought on stage in a comedy show to play it for the audience. I hope this brings you as much enjoyment as it's brought me. And she sent it. It's like, yeah, some dude who filmed himself like singing and he's doing like Tonic, if you could only see. All right.
If so there. You could only see the way she loves me, then maybe you would understand
how I feel this this way.
It's this bodybuilder guy singing that, and she plays it everywhere she goes now. Oh. All right. That is terrifying. If you are the girl who was on the other side of that. Oh, hang on. Is this the Jay on line two? Let's take Jay. Jay, are you the one who sent that in?
Nick is still on the phone with him. Yeah, hold on.
Put him on hold, Nick. Come on. Let's talk to him. Jay.
Yes.
First of all, what the F was that?
I thought I could write a love song. I thought I could.
Oh, boy.
All right. So when you play that for her, kind of walk me through the nightmare that was that moment. Were you sitting on the couch? And what was her reaction?
Yeah, so we finished dinner, and I'm like, I think I said, I was like, here, I made this song for you, and you want to hear it? And, you know, at first she was interested. She's like, oh, yeah. So, yeah, we're sitting on the couch, and I think we had to put it into, like, she had an Xbox or something, so I think we played it, like, through the TV that way. And we listened to the song, and she didn't really talk or say anything, really. And then, you know, after the song was done, at the time I was smoking, and so was she. So, you know, we'd go outside and smoke a cigarette. And then while we were outside, like not even a minute into that, she's like, hold on. And then she runs inside, and then she comes back out. She's like, I'm so sorry. I need to, my daughter feels sick, and I need to take care of her, and I'm just going to have to say goodnight. I was like, oh, okay. And I remember feeling like crushed. Like, I'm like, and I kept rationalizing on the way home. I'm like, oh, shit, she had to take care of her kid. You know, what are you going to do? She just never answered the phone again to me.
So she tried to contact her and follow up, and she just never got back to you, never texted you back, never called you
nope.
back.
Nope. Okay. Never.
Yeah. How old were you at the time?
I believe I was just under 30.
Oh, you're.
How long ago?
That would have been like 2002. Okay. 2003.
Okay. All right. That's.
Who are some of your biggest influences, man? That's what I want to know.
It's Buffalo Bill. Oh, hang on. We may have a love. Don't hang up on Jay. Don't. Why'd you hang up on him? Megan is. Are you
sorry,
the one?
Sorry, I
saw
did that when I switched over to the other line.
That's right. Jay, call back. Megan, are you the person this song was written for?
That is me.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the first time you've heard him since The Fateful Night? Is that right?
Well, so it was our second date, or first or second date, we were in the car, and I was, like, joking around singing. He started singing, and I was like, oh, you sound a little pitchy, dog. Telling him he sounded like he got stepped on by a cat.
Megan, let me clarify something. You're the one who was dating the bodybuilder who got offended when you said, okay, all right, finish the story. Okay, so you're in the car, and he says you can't sing.
Yeah, so I start making fun of him just because I'm a ball buster, and it was fucking terrible. So he was singing, and then, you know, I went home, went to bed, and I woke up in the morning to a text and a video message saying he was like, I just want to let you know I actually can sing. I can't believe I'm doing this, but I want to prove it. And then I opened that before I had any coffee. And my day was ruined.
But the thing I love about it is you said, oh, I'm never deleting this. And you sent it to everyone, correct?
I literally showed every single person I knew my hairdresser, had it on the speakers at the salon. I was actually brought on stage at, there's a podcast called Girls Gotta Eat, and I sent it in, and they gave me free tickets and brought me on stage and stayed in front of the entire crowd.
Great.
It's that good.
Have you ever talked to him since he sent you that?
I'm not going to lie. I may have gone on a few more dates with him, and then I broke up with
them. Okay. All right. Well, that's...
It was a dark time in my life, okay?
You had a lot of questions, though. You were like, maybe he's got a little something. So you went on a couple of more dates with him. You definitely were curious. There's no doubt about it. His song worked on you.
No, it was the holiday season and I was lonely.
Oh, it's cuffing season, right? It's cuffing season, so let's get a couple more dates in, right? Yeah.
I was cold.
You were cold. That's right. You need a warm body. All right, well, Megan, that's fantastic. Thank you for sending that in. That is great.
I'm not buying the cuffing season. She was curious. She wanted to know what he was packing, and she went on more dates with him.
I want to hear the woman who's on the other side of. There's no
heart that you can't swipe.
All right, so we've got Chris Forsberg that we're going to talk to, but
I think I'm more interested in the Chili's menu.
After Chris Forsberg, we've got another story that is just as douche chill inducing as you can get. It's a flip side to all of this. It's a guy who wrote a breakup song to show his girl how good he was doing. And gave it to her. All right, so this is the bodybuilder.
She loves me, and maybe you would understand.
Poor guy was opening his heart for a moment, and then, of course, she goes and plays it for everyone. All right, 617-779-0985. We will get to Chris Forsberg and talk about the Celtics before we get back to all of this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tremont Waters finds Tatum at the free throw line. Turns the corner, stumbles a little bit in the paint, but he gets in and scores. And there's his triple-double. Tatum! 10 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists for Jason Tatum. A 3-for-13 triple-double.
The package that you were apparently offered at IU got released on Saturday, and there was a lot of collective whoa and wows.
Well, first of all, I was never offered a package, so that's all news to me. Secondly, you know, I wasn't going to leave anyways. And the reason being is because this place, regardless if it was a pro organization or a college, has been so good to our family, so good to me. You know, I don't know how long I'm going to coach. I don't know how long I'm going to, you know, coach in the NBA. I don't know how long they'll want me to coach in the NBA. You know, I was never offered that, so I don't know where that came from.
You know, that wasn't true. That's a very fortunate rumor for Brad Stevens, because what that does is that just makes your value up there amongst the best in the NBA. We're talking about this. It's 98.5 of Sports. I'm Tucker and Rich. That, I mean, how many coaches in the NBA did we look up are making more than $10 million a year?
I think two. I think Popovich was one, and who's the other?
Might be Kerr.
Doc?
Doc's one.
Doc, yeah.
Okay, so you've got right now two, and I guarantee you none of them got a seven-year contract. I wouldn't think so.
No.
In the NBA, I mean, that's almost unheard of.
I think
Doc
got five. Well, Popovich has been year-to-year for how many? I mean,
sure.
He's not going anywhere.
But all that did right there was, you know, even if it's not true, even though it came from Adrian Wojnarowski, which is usually a fairly ironclad source, you know, that just made his value go up and up, and maybe, you know, Danny heard that, and I know Danny loves Brad Stevens, even though a bunch of fans always clamor for his firing after anything happens bad with his team. You know, it looks like he might end up being in that echelon of the highest paid coaches in the league very, very soon. Another person with ironclad sources and ironclad hair, Chris Forsberg, who we, of course, love, from NBC Sports Boston.
He joins us. Awesome.
I would give up three of my toes for that.
What's the gel, man? I need to know the gel you use. It's like super.
It's not even a gel. It's like a powder that my barber got me on, because the gel is just leaving like a residue. So I had to change it up.
Oh, really? So you're not greasing it? You don't do the Dapper Dan stuff?
No, especially with those TV lights, it just shines too much. So I had to tone it down a little, get that matte look instead of being all gross and sticky.
I don't even know what you're talking about, man.
I wish I knew. Well, he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Man. All right, Chris. So yesterday was a weird night, and I mean,
hold on. Can I say something about the Brad thing first?
Yeah. Of course.
So I mean, I totally get everyone sees this, like, 70-year, $70 million and freaks out and says, like, how could you ever turn that down? Brad Stevens makes a lot of money, and he's on this, what we feel is, like, this perpetual deal. Like, every 3 years, I think his first deal was a 6-year deal, and it seems like every 3 years they're adding 3 years to it. So he just signed another extension. Like, if I had to get out my, like, little and we'll never know exactly what he makes because his agent is his wife, and, you know, they're not going to divulge that information, but I want to say the rumor was he was in the $6-6.5 million range on his last deal. I'm assuming it went up. So let's say he's on a 6-year. Let's say it went up to $6-8 million. Like, it's not far off, and he doesn't have to sit in people's living rooms. He gets to travel on NBA jets and live an NBA lifestyle. I understand why people sit there and say, "Oh man, that's a great offer," but Brad's got a pretty good situation right now, even if the basketball team can be really frustrating.
All right, if the money was all the same and you don't have that itch, because that's the other thing, is there's a lot of college coaches who just have the itch. They want to do the NBA. But if for him it's all the same, he just wants to coach, isn't a college coach gig a lot less stressful and there's a lot less work than the NBA?
Oh. You know what? I'm not sure that's true. Go ahead, Chris.
See, everyone seems to say that's the case.
I don't think it is. I think you got to go sit in a lot of living rooms. And I know it gets easier the bigger your name is. Like, is it as much of a grind for Nick Saban now to go recruit a player? No, but, you know, it's certainly not the Butler days where Brad has to go really put a hard sell just hoping to get a top-line recruit. But that being said, I still think it's a grind. And, you know, I know he would love the practice time and all that sort of thing. And there's certainly the benefits of being back home. And, you know, but as he said, like, this is a little bit home now. I start thinking about his kids. You know, his kids are, let me do the math real quick. I think they're 11 and 14. You know, this is pretty much all they know as in their formative year. That I would think before he makes any decision, you want to let them get through school here. And so I just think, you know, sometimes it's easy to get caught up in that. Oh, my God, that's a crazy number. But I just don't know. Eventually, like, can I see him going back and doing Butler or Indiana at some point? Of course. But I just don't see it anytime soon. I think he also... He's the guy who wants to meet every challenge that is put out there. And I'm sure he heard all the buzz when he first took this job about how college coaches don't survive in the NBA and that there's a short lifespan. And he's just going to change that narrative.
All right. So, Chris, you brought up the fact that this team can be very frustrating. Last night was Exhibit A. I understand they were missing four rotational players, but Chicago was missing Zach LaVine, one of the better players in the NBA, and they lost. That's a game you shouldn't have lost, and that's a game that I think Jason Tatum needed to take over. A lot of bad news from last night.
Yeah, you know, I the one thing I can't do is, like, kill Jason Tatum about having a bad shooting night after what he's done the last week and a half. And
sure,
I think he tried really hard. I feel like he maybe recognized that he didn't have it. And, you know, I don't know this. Like, he was on the injury report with that left toe impingement, but it was probable, which suggests that it wasn't a big deal. I don't know if he was just not feeling it. I thought he did a lot of good things early. I thought his passing was terrific. I think if he passes the way he did in the first half in any game this year, they're going to win probably the majority of those nights. But, certainly as they're sputtering there at times, you wish they could have found a way for him to take over a little bit more. And certainly in that superstar vein, he needs to be able to carry them at times. The sloppiness is what hurts most, right? Like, you know, even against that Lakers team, where the Lakers game felt like they could have knocked them out in the first quarter if they hadn't turned the ball over so much. And they just gave Chicago every opportunity to sort of hang around and then steal that game because they weren't careful with the ball. They gave up too many second chance points. And even with all those guys out, and I know you don't have Marcus or Kemba, but you got to be better in those instances.
Hey, you know, it's funny, Chris, because we were talking about how this team has been playing, you know, after the All-Star break and how it just looks like a completely different team than the one that was playing in March. You know, as we said, they're clutch now. I mean, other than last night, they're clutch. Jason Tatum is, you know, as we said, he's been getting into the paint. He's getting to the free throw line. The ball movement's better. They're playing defense. But, you know, my whole opinion of this run was, this doesn't to me say that they're like a great team. What it just says to me is they're not as bad as we saw them be during that month of March, you know, leading up to this, that they just weren't as bad as advertised for a while. But you wrote an article that I thought was interesting because no Celtics fan wants to start asking this question because, one, you know, you don't want to, almost like you feel like you're putting the cart in front of the horse or you're jinxing it. But it's about, after what we've seen over the last several weeks, are the Celtics in the title contender conversation? And what was your take on that?
So, and I was like cautiously, I would say optimistic as sort of you were, like where, and I don't know what we learned, if we learned a whole lot based on the opponents they beat. Yeah. And there were good wins in there. Going into Denver and just having that team that was probably the hottest team in the NBA at that point completely wave the white flag against you is impressive. Going up to Portland when Lillard was hot and finding a way for Marcus Smart to sort of hose him off and get to the finish line of that win. That whole trip was really encouraging. Even the Lakers, you know, not having their stars, but to come out and jump them early. I wish they, you know, didn't kick away that 27-point lead, but I still thought there was encouraging little bits and pieces in there. And I could certainly look at this team and say, as they get healthier, I can see a potential path to being in that conversation. But I thought this week would tell us a lot more, and not necessarily the Chicago game, you know, even though it certainly should have been a win there. But you know, you got Phoenix coming in, and then you go to Brooklyn. Okay, what do you got against those two teams? That will tell me a lot more about the progress they've made, about where they stand, you know, and hopefully there's some semblance of health when they go up against those two teams, you know, because it just ultimately what I'm left yearning is, what does this team look like full? We have no clue. We have I have an idea of what each player can do individually, but I have no idea what they can do collectively and what it looks like when they have a top eight. You know, I think I have an idea, but again, I want to see it, and I want to see it against the best opponents before I'm ready to be like, when they go into the playoff, given the path that they're going to have to take as a lower seed, you know, they have a chance against the best teams in the NBA.
You see, you mentioned health, and I guess there can be an argument for possibly holding guys out for last night so that they're healthy for the two big games you mentioned later this week. But more and more, Chris, I just think this is one of those years where you're never going to see this team completely healthy. I mean, it's always been something, from Jason Tatum and COVID earlier this year to Jaylen Brown's, you know, chronic knee soreness to, you know, COVID to, you know, weird illnesses that pop up. This might be one of those years where you just don't see this team healthy.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it feels like that's been the story for this team for a long time now, isn't it? Like every playoffs, we're sitting there going, well, if they get Gordon Hayward healthy, or
exactly,
if Gordon Hayward come back from there, yeah. You know, and unfortunately, you know, it just does feel like they're a little bit snake bitten. And the year they lost Kyrie and Gordon, and just feels like every postseason we're yearning for them to have everybody healthy, and it doesn't come together. Now, you know, I guess the counter argument is they can't be any less healthy than they've been, and that, you know, maybe they've gotten this stuff out of the way, and hopefully some of these guys are getting vaccinated, and that, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think they're all crossing their fingers that it has to be better in that situation, but certainly in a year where the schedule has been relentless, I just don't have the confidence that necessarily it's all going to come together. That being said, like, we can look at some of the strides they've made, and you know, they're better when things go sideways, and they respond better to adversity in this stretch. I feel like they have a little bit more of an identity than they did for the first 3.5 months of the season. But will it all come together when it matters? And more importantly, like, because of their struggles, and this is the one thing I keep going back to, you know, now they're left scrapping to get maybe the fourth seed, you know, fourth or fifth or whatever, you know, just kind of avoid the play-in. And then even if you win the first round, even if you have home court for the first round, now you've got to go play the one seed. So you got to go probably to Philly or to Brooklyn, depending on how that all shakes out. And then you got to probably play the other team in the conference final. So it's just a really daunting path, and they're just going to have to figure it out on the fly. Now, can that happen in a weird year? Sure. But I guess history sort of suggests that that's a less likely scenario for a team to be able to figure it out on the fly.
What did you think of Ainge on the broadcast last night?
You know, he was a little bit guarded. clearly, he had realized he couldn't say much about Chicago.
That's right.
I kept wanting Scal to really put the needles to him and try to
get him fined.
Scal understands. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah. I mean, it's all part of, you know, it's funny when I'm sure when we asked Danny, he's got to be like, oh, I can't do that because, you know, what other GM in the league would go on a 48-minute broadcast and, you know, risk it as his players are getting called for fouls and stuff like that. But I did like the sort of genuine reaction in the fourth quarter, some of it being like, you know, exasperation when his guys couldn't get a stop. I liked when... Yeah. He had the same reaction the rest of us did when Tremont Waters went in and was like, I don't know about this. Tremont had a really good stretch there. So I just like that. I like the sort of the genuine watching it through his eyes. What does he see? You know, like, you know, when he wants the defense to do this or, you know, a missed rotation. I like those little glimpses into what Danny Ainge is thinking.
I just imagined, like, you know, after some of the F-ups, the players actually hearing Danny Ainge, their GM, the guy who controls their contracts, critiquing them standing right next to him. I'm wondering if maybe that's some of the reason that these guys were possibly off, because you can hear every word in that arena right now, can't you, Chris?
Yeah. You know, and it's funny because he pretty much called out Grant Williams for flopping at one point, and I'm thinking, oh, man, poor Grant's going to have to go watch the tape. And not only did he have a rough night, but now his GM's going to be crushing him about flopping around.
I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
I was going to say, Chris, I love that you do those things at NBC Sports Boston, like the little classroom breakdown things. When you get a chance and you're really bored, and this is for everybody, just Google today Lakers catfish. And have some fun
we'll talk about
that
story
later.
It's great. I want to talk about that later because there is a scene breaking out right now. We'll get into it, but Lakers Twitter. I mean, Kevin Durant has there's a massive catfishing incident that has taken a ton of people by surprise, including Ice Cube's son is part of this as well. Yeah, so this should be interesting. So yeah, do that. Yeah, I guess
now,
Chris.
Now I'm intrigued. Now yeah, I'm yes. Yeah. Into Reddit.
Yeah,
that's so all we'll be talking to Danny about on Thursday. So just this entire thing. Ever been catfished, Danny? All right, Chris Forsberg. Thanks for coming on with us, man. We appreciate it. Good stuff on Boston Sports Sports Boston. Thanks, man. All right, we'll talk to you soon. All right. When we come back, we will finish up some of these uncomfortable moments of things that were sent to girls in order to try to get their affection, which scared them away. We'll get to that right after Joe Murray's headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Joe Murray here in studio. By the way, we were talking about being 420, and somebody sent us a picture with a caption on it that I completely forgot about. Remember when Sarge said
nothing like going to Denver to smoke the marijuana like a cigarette?
What?
Nothing like going to Denver to smoke the marijuana like a cigarette.
Here's a question. Hold on. Here's a question, Joe. Has you and Sarge have been friends for a very long time now? Has he ever partaken with you?
I can't speak for Sarge.
Why not?
I can't speak for him.
Why can't you speak for him?
I don't.
It's legal. It's like something that's legal.
He's
now.
Not going to jail if you say anything.
Sarge always is he's never lame at a party.
Okay, so that's a yes.
So
all right,
let's say there was a gentleman by the name of Barge, and how different is Barge when he's smoking than when he's not, Joe Murray?
Hypothetically,
he becomes very thirsty.
Okay.
Yeah.
What, because very
what is the mystery surrounding this? You're making both of us more interested.
I mean, I was the all-American boy. I don't want
Joe hangs out with Reich Miley.
Are you worried you're going to ruin his reputation?
Yeah. Sarge isn't a smoker, okay? If Sarge is the dude that's like, hey, man, what are you doing over there? Like, dude, I'm smoking a joint. Mind if I get a hit?
Hey, you guys playing cards?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That was a scene in Animal House. That's right. I remember.
Sarge is the guy that takes the joint and doesn't know how to inhale.
Okay,
and so you're the dude that shows him how to do it.
All right, so? All right.
Yeah, so that's what's happened. Yes, that has happened.
Here's why it's so fascinating. Because is Sarge capable of mellowing out?
Yes.
Oh, that's
yes.
He is?
Yes.
No, he's not.
Really? Yes.
Not a chance.
Guys,
He's always Sarge.
I would love to tell you guys a story. We can't do it on the air.
Why not?
No, we can't.
You can't just tease that and then drop it.
Tell a story about your friend Crazy Dave.
Let's hypothetically say we all went to a strip club. Hypothetically speaking,
yes.
Sarge would introduce himself to the strippers.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing? Mike Sarge Riley, how you doing?
While Sarge personally doesn't get Rocky Mountain high.
Of course he did. Of course he did. He didn't actually say Mike Sarge Riley.
He introduced himself to. Yes.
Oh my God.
Did he use the term Sarge?
I don't remember.
Okay, that's crazy.
It was very, very. I don't remember the night that well. But yes, he introduced himself to.
And what's the reaction from the strippers?
I laughed because, like,
security.
Strippers knowing your name? I don't know.
That's when the big guy walks in from the corner and says, I'm sorry, sir. You're going to have to leave.
And the next thing you know, he's writing a song.
Has Sarge ever written a song for a girlfriend of his?
I doubt it. He doesn't have that kind of.
He just shows the weight belts off. Wow. Okay. So he introduces himself, and like, does he ask like, you know, what they do for fun, or you know, get to know them? Is this like an ongoing discussion throughout the night?
Man. I find this fascinating.
Does it end with him introducing himself, or is there like an ongoing discussion?
I think it's more of a handshake introduction.
So, what are you studying in school?
What are you studying at school here?
That's what strippers like when you come up and shake their hand.
What would you do for a 20 twin?
A 20 twin twin?
I got this Finsky here.
Are you willing to shake it like a salt shaker, as they say?
But again, we've all had that friend that's like, yeah. So hey man, how do you smoke that thing? What's it do to you? How do you feel? That's Sarge.
Okay.
You know? It's all good, baby.
I don't understand the cloud of secrecy when we began this conversation.
You know, I don't want to speak for the kid.
What?
You know?
He's
a reputable man. He's got a lot of gigs going on. You know?
But Joe, what do you have going on?
Well, I got a job. I'm working again.
He's got a point there.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
there was a time where I was not working, and I was like, I wonder if it's about the things I say
you
on the show.
You think the Revolution are going to fire him from the PA job based on what you just said?
I don't know.
These are all legal things, Joe Murray. They're all things that anyone can do, and there be no kind of crime punishment. You should not be ashamed of. I mean, it's like saying he went and bought a Gatorade.
I mean, I'm not ashamed. I come out and tell you guys, this is the most reality I'll ever be with you guys.
Well, I'm not talking about you, but I mean,
let him talk for himself. I don't want to talk about his weed experiences, you know? I mean, I just told you
there's more than one.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay. You know, yeah. Now we're getting somewhere.
Imitate Mellow Sarge for me. I'd like to hear that. Because we tried to do a bit one time, because I was convinced that Sarge couldn't change the intonation of his voice. And I tried to do a bit where he just did impressions of other people, and I was convinced every single one would sound like Sarge. So what does Mellow Sarge sound like?
Here's the deal. I'm curious if Sarge inhales. You know?
Okay.
I wonder still if he does that. The other thing, too, is he's like, man, I'm really rocked out right now. You know, he'll tell me. Man, really, really rocked out right now.
He's rocked out.
All right, man. Cool. Rocked out, man. Cool.
It's all good, baby.
The term rocked out?
I don't know if that's the term.
You can leave now. I mean, I go, okay.
I was just going to say, and then
did
two of you.
Say rocked out?
Really, I'm feeling that marijuana, Joe.
You and Bird go to the other room. No, I understand. Yeah.
Put together a chair.
Yeah. Again, it's been a long time for me, so.
That's right. You assembled the beach chair you guys bought.
That's right. It didn't work out.
Do you miss it? Because I know, you told us. Yeah, you do?
Yeah. Because everybody smokes now. And you know, have you been into like a shop now? You walk into the place and you just smell it. Like, I'm the guy, there's certain, you ever just love the smell stuff? Like, I like to smell sneakers, tennis balls, like, you name it. I walk into that dispensary, man, and I'm like, and if you got a big bag of grass, I just want to stick my face in it.
Well, why would you ever go and torture yourself like that?
Well, I haven't. I love all that.
Okay.
Well, when I was a kid, the mall had a tinderbox store, which is like a cigar place.
Yeah.
And I used to love just going into that back room in the humidor and that was like a kid, and I loved the smell of tobacco. It was the greatest.
That's actually the thing. Also, my grandfather actually used to smoke a pipe, of all things.
Oh, it's
and
the greatest.
I used to go with him to the smoke shop when I was a kid, and he had all these flavors he did, and the smell, I still remember it to this day.
So why not edibles? Because I know that you said it's because of the teeth thing.
Yeah, years ago, I did mushrooms as a kid, and really all mushrooms is food poisoning. That's all it is.
So you're saying that you still have PTSD from the mushrooms?
Yes, whenever I do edibles, it gives me that type of effect.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So
when Sarge does it, how does he react?
Again, I don't know if he inhales the right way. So that was the
when Sarge does edibles. What's it like? Exactly?
I've never done it. That'd be a good one, actually.
You can do it at Nick's wedding.
Ooh, Nick's wedding.
Now we're talking. We're in Booth Bay Harbor. There are no Ubers. We're not going anywhere.
Nick's wedding is going to be an S show.
No,
I can already tell.
It's going to be.
I mean, all the sloppiest of the sloppy are going to be there. It's going to be
not true. Well, maybe a little true.
Oh, come on. Yeah, that's just true. Our show.
It's good. You're keeping us all to one table, right, Nick?
Dude,
yes, big thumbs up from Nick.
It's going to be bad when Fred's the responsible one. That's what it's
true.
Going to be.
No, it's true.
At Nick's wedding, it's like he's going to be the babysitter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a mess, but it'll be fun. It'll be a blast, of course, if everyone stops bitching about not being able to fuck the place.
Have you booked yours yet, Rich?
I have not, but there's plenty of rooms.
Okay.
Plenty
of
rooms.
All right.
Here we go.
I actually went online yesterday to do it, but apparently there's a discount code if I call and I use Nick's name, so that's nice.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Yeah, so I have not done that, but there's plenty of rooms there. Okay. I don't know why you guys didn't book at the place.
I'm too lazy. You know what? I have to be honest with you. I was too lazy to do it, and Nick just had to text me the link again to do it. So yeah, I'll do it this week.
John just wants somebody to do it for him.
Yeah, that might be true, too.
All right. Well, we got Will Brinson coming up. We'll get to that other stuff after Will Brinson. But yes,
Rich,
Dan.
Real quick, on that note, when you teased it before, and now, of course, you know, Sarge took precedence here, there are probably a good number of people out there that are driving around going, oh no, I wonder if it's my song. Like, did the girl I sent the song to hold on to it
and
then submitted it to TNR?
Good point.
Which one is this? What is this? Oh, that's that guy.
That's the snoring guy.
That's the snoring guy. Yeah. Yes, of
snorting.
Course. That's, of course, the Def Leppard
guy. Step inside. Yeah. Walk this way. You and me, baby. Hey, hey. Yeah.
Cool Rocker Joe. All right, we'll get to Will Brinson, and then we'll get up to that and hopefully not make someone's life a nightmare as they're driving into work. 617-779-0985. Brinson next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.